When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, Michael Malice here. Be sure to check out my weekly podcast, You're Welcome with Michael Malice, now on Podcast One. You might know me from my terrible Twitter, my horrible books, or the nonsense I spout on podcasts like Rogan and Glenn Beck. It's all there. Are you black-pilled or white-pilled for the future of the UK? What is a man? Are you white-pilled or black-pilled? No, seriousness, girl.
No, I love the Jesse Lee piece of question.
The fact that you discovered that gives me hope for some of the things that I've still got
Well, if you need James G. Blaine's autograph, you are welcome to it. Of course, being the co-author of How to Have Impossible Conversations makes you the perfect guest for this train wreck of a show. New episodes are available every Thursday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and wherever you get your podcasts. You are welcome.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. This week we're going to talk to Mark Metters. He's the president of the Good Guys Rod and Custom Association. We're going to hear about all of their events, how they've grown over the years. Just a can't miss thing you definitely want to check out. Before we get started, here's Geico. Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course, who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent. Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the Motorator DeAndre, here with Bill Goldberg. Oh, man, big travel schedule. I just got back from Colorado as well. I swung by the Pikes Peak Fan Fest, my first time going there. Now, I wanted to drive up to the top of Pikes Peak. So
I didn't.
Because my stupid... You didn't
freaking go to the top during... the deal is, isn't it the 4th of July?
No, it happened. It just happened. So we were there for the Fan Fest. We saw the race cars.
Go to the top. What's your excuse?
Okay. My rental car got a flat tire. I swear to God. I got a flat in the rental car. I called Hertz all over. I was like, I need to swap out the car or get a real tire on this thing. And every location was closed because basically Hertz is, I don't know, maybe 6 months out of bankruptcy and, recovering. So all of these locations were shut down. I just changed it. It took 10 minutes, 12 minutes to change the tire, but it put the donut on. So going up the hill seems easy, but coming down the hill with,
no balls whatsoever. You got ABS and you're probably going 10 miles an hour. Think of the people that are going up that hill at like 120 around those curves.
Yeah. I don't know. It was starting to rain up there and stuff. So anyway, we just turned it into another thing. But went out and went some other places and hiked and did some stuff out there. But and it was good. It was fun. But didn't make it to the top of the hill. But was there. Got to hang out with our friends from Acura. And they're always fantastic. Did the Fan Fest, which takes over the whole town in Colorado Springs, basically. That's a cool event. The hotel we were staying at was right there. So we just walk out the hotel and you're at the Fan Fest.
Nice.
So I posted a handful of photos up on my Instagram stories. I'll probably do a post so you guys can see it as well. But there's some cool stuff there, some pretty over-the-top cars. It was a good crowd. The weather was nice out there. It's crazy because Pikes Peak is almost 1,000 feet of elevation per mile. It's about 14,000 feet and 14 miles. And, at the top, people are like, it's 80 at the bottom of the mountain. And it's you know, it's 30 at the top of the mountain. And so people are starting to have to dress accordingly to get up there and then get out. You're like, it's so cold. So looking forward to doing that again. But it happened at the same weekend as the Goodwood Festival of Speed, the hill climb event that we've been to a couple of times. And that's really turning into a badass event. You know,
dude, it always was. I mean,
yeah, but it's
better and better.
Just the debuts and the cars that are showing up there, the racing cars, new concept cars, and you know, some purpose built kind of over the top things like that Ford electric van, the super van, was kind of cool. And so now we're starting to think that this should start to be on the regular July schedule. The way we go to Monterey every year, Adam and I go to Monterey every year, we're starting to think maybe the Festival of Speed needs to be sort of a, you know, at least every other year, just whatever we can make happen. Obviously, it's a big trip, but it's starting to turn into something. I mean, like you said, it's a cool event, but now it's just it's interesting because I was like,
pardon me, it's fucking awesome.
I mean,
it's not a cool event. It's fucking awesome.
It is awesome.
And, I mean, how could you get better than that? And I didn't know a hell of a lot about it prior to going.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously I did my due diligence and looked at years past. And it seems like they've gotten much more liberal in their entrance and their idea of what entertainment is now. Yeah. And so since the sky's the limit and since the industry has just gone freaking way overboard, but in a direction that we all love. I mean, you want to see the coolest shit on the planet that's automotive? It's there. It's all up the hill. So, I mean, it's the coolest event going, I think.
Yeah, so the past couple of years, as the auto shows have kind of died down a little bit and car manufacturers are looking for other events to debut, you know, Monterey Car Week was always, you know, the top of the list, you know, between the Pebble Beach Lawn and some stuff at the track and the various events, and the mm-hmm. Quail is a huge thing. But as you pointed out, you know, the Festival of Speed is turning into a place to launch cars, but not just launch it and look at it, launch it and send somebody up the hill, like literally launch it up the hill. So,
yeah.
So now they're, you know,
And not just somebody, right?
Yeah.
You know, somebody with a racing pedigree of anybody that's worthy of going up that hill, except for guys like me, somehow got an opportunity. But, I mean, to have almost any of those entrants that are driving vehicles up that hill, that's an honor for any manufacturer. So, and you know, it's not like they're not going to hold caution to the wind. They're not going to want to break the first vehicle, but they're going to drive the balls off of it up that hill just to prove what it is. And what a great proving ground. It's just the whole atmosphere and the parties before and after, I mean, just and the eclectic combination of vehicles that are there and the people and the fans. And, I mean, it's awesome.
It truly is
the coolest event that I've been to.
We've got to find our way out to that event again, hopefully next year. It's such a cool thing to go to. And, you know, as much as we love Monterey Car Week, Monterey has various events throughout the town and surrounding areas, the Quail and Pebble and the track and the auctions. The Festival of Speed has everything at one location because it is the event. And there's not really anything else. You can't be like, oh, we're just going to drive 7 miles away and there's another like convention center. No. Chichester's like,
you're
it's a
right
little
in the middle of a farm.
Yeah. It's like, it's a little town and you're all on, you know, the Duke of Richmond's property.
Like it's like the Woodstock of automobiling.
Yeah.
The automobile world. You know, kind of. I mean, I don't know a great analogy for it, but there ain't nothing else going on at that time. If you're a gearhead and you're if you're on the planet, you try to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. And every house is being Airbnb'd. Every hotel is booked. and everything is super old. So when you go into a hotel room and you see two like single beds with a sink in between them, you're like, that's the bathroom and there's the beds. Like Adam and I shared a room and we were in two beds, and basically those beds are so close together, you could basically hold hands all night if you wanted to. And the doors are thin, right? Like you have to walk in sideways. Even my size, it feels like you're going into a bathroom into an airplane. Right. And, you know, it's everything is so old and it's so tiny that, you know, it's not
I've had a couple different experiences being there, you know, being there three different years. You know, Top Gear was kind of close to
that's
there
right.
Too,
yeah.
But, yeah, it's different. I've become Mr. Airbnb with this baseball season in, you know, the summers.
Yeah.
Getting Airbnb over there is quite the challenge.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
So we've gone out, Chris, and we've gone out a few times,
like
festival
it's
speed.
It's like the golden ticket in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. If you get a vacant place, you got to snap it, no matter what it is.
Chris, we rented a house out there a couple times, right? So we've done it a few times. The first house was like on the water. It was kind of a modern looking house.
Yeah,
right.
I
do you remember?
On trip, but I remember seeing the pictures. That was
you
the
weren't on that
speed.
Trip.
That was the
revival. That was revival. Yeah. Gary was with us. Why was Gary with us? Not you. Like, I mean, it's fine. I like Gary. I was just trying to figure out why Gary was. He must have been doing. Adam must have done some. I think Adam did live shows in London. Right. I think that's what it was. Yeah. And then the revival we went to because Nate was filming. So that's why we did that.
Yeah.
That makes sense for sure. Yeah. That's where we screwed up the rental van on that trip. All right. We're going to have Mark Metters from Good Guys come on in a little bit. Let me know when.
Yeah. Well,
and we're going to get into that. But you got the new TRX, the second TRX. This one's all black, right? Which is kind of what you wanted initially.
It's more me. You know? I mean, now I go out. It's great. It was great to have the first edition, but as a car guy, you always in the back of your mind are like, yeah, you know, the first edition, you know, number 95. You might want to just put it away. And so I never really romped on it. I never did that jump over the freaking creek like that moron did on YouTube. But I really never did it. I never really treated it as the truck that it is, right? And so now that I've got the Goldberg's Garage version of the new TRX, and it's all black, and it's more reminiscent of who I am. And it's off already, getting wheels and tires. HRE's new truck wheels are on it, and the middos are going on it, and then the bumpers are going on it, and the rigid lights are going on. So I'm going to dress it up like the other one. And then XBell's got it middle of July to put the PPF on it and ceramic coating everything. But I'm going to go nuts out with this one, dude. I mean, the other one is more like a showpiece that I was driving around like a showpiece, but now I can drive it like a truck.
So. Yeah.
In a very long dissertation, that's what I have done. And that's my reasoning behind it. And it was wonderful driving it to Houston, putting 700 miles on it and not really worrying about hunting an E85 gas station. Granted, it's got almost 300 less horsepower than my other one. But soon it will be equally as violent, but in a completely different way. And I'm questioning whether I'm going the E85 route on this one.
Yeah, so the E85, right, there's not a ton of it out here in L.A. There's a few gas stations where you can get it, and it's not really like it's super cheap like in some other areas of the country. And how much E85 fuel you use compared to other, you know, compared to the regular unleaded or the, you know, whatever, the 91 or the 93 as you have it.
It's all E85. Every vehicle I have other than the new TRX is E85. And it's, you know, it provides you more horsepower, granted, in the end, and it's cheaper, but it also burns faster. And, you know, I mean, it's just, it's not apples to apples by any stretch, but it's a give and take world, right? So it's a choice.
So power-wise.
It's a you're on a long, long drive trying to find a freaking E85 place. And that's why I have a reserve 15-gallon tank in the truck.
Power-wise, with the new TRX, what are your thoughts? You're going to keep it supercharged? You're going to go turbo? You're probably going to come up with something that's more of a pump gas version, right? Like a 93 octane version, right? Because the E85, yeah,
I'm going to lose a little ability to produce horsepower, but I think the convenience of being able to stop just about anywhere and get gas, because there's good super unleaded out here, 93 octane.
Yeah.
So it's just the E85s are few and far between. Where I live, there's only two gas stations, you know, around here with it. So I have to strategically do my drives. I think I'm going to twin turbo it, like I was talking about with the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll pump as much horsepower out of it as humanly possible. The MagnaFlow exhaust will help us a couple. You know, we just threw that on it. So,
So
different iteration of the first version.
Twin turbo, but with a street tune, a 93 octane tune on a twin turbo. I'm interested in that. I'm definitely interested in hearing about that, right?
I'm interested in his Mario's thoughts on it.
Yeah,
you know, and I want to hear what direction he wants to go, but I also want him to understand that I'm the one having to hunt for gas stations.
Right. For the Mustang Mach 1, that's what I've been talking to John Urist over at Helion Turbo for a while now about doing a twin turbo package. Mm-hmm. On that, you know, a pump gas version, a 91 octane version of the twin turbo. And, and kind of figuring out like how that's going to work and what that looks like. And, you know, and his big thing is, you know, we both agree, John and I, that if we're going to do it, it needs to be an emissions legal kit, mm-hmm. for California and for, you know, for just sort of some of the story we're telling here as far as the EPA stuff that's cracking down on a bunch of SEMA companies and aftermarket companies and racing and all that stuff. So he's got his kit developed. It's making good power. It's good dyno stuff. And then, you know, he sent the car out here and he's having it fine tune the calibration at sea level so he can, you know, because I think he's in New Mexico and working on that. And then I believe it went to SEMA Garage to get the emissions testing stuff done. But once we figure out what the results are on that, maybe we'll talk to John. We'll have him pop on the episode here and tell us what's going on with just the whole process.
I'd be really curious.
Yeah, not just the kit and the power he's making, but just the process. Like, what did it take for him to get this thing, you know, emissions tested and approved and whatever? Assuming it gets all approved, he feels pretty confident on it. You know, like he kind of knew, you know, this isn't the first kit he's obviously made, so and not the first emissions legal kit, so he's familiar with. He's familiar with what the kit should look like, what some of the rules are, how clean it needs to be, you know, what you can keep, what you can't keep, you know, things on the intake track and catalytic converters and, you know, stuff like that. So can you make a bigger horsepower version just by changing the configuration, you know, longer tube headers and more open intake and, you know, you probably can make something that's going to make more power, but he needs to make a good emissions legal kit as the base kit. And then if you want to get into racing and you're not street legal anymore, for example, then obviously sky's the limit. Like, you know, what you guys have been doing with you and Mario and the gearheads, you know, he builds racing vehicles and they make shit tons of power, thousands. And, you know, and there's street legal stuff. You know, and I say street legal, what I mean is emissions legal. Not all the states have the same rules, so, you know, whatever. But an emissions legal version of it. I don't know. So it'll be kind of interesting to see what he's going to come up with. So, excited.
I forgot to ask him. You had breached the subject about compound boosting with him at one point. because I was fascinated with that Mustang that was out there in Orange County, that silver one.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask him again.
Right. So I think when we brought this up, Mario wasn't necessarily the fan of compound boosting. And that might be just on the types of vehicles he's working on currently. I believe John Uris from Helion did a compound boosted GT500. But you know who has a lot of experience in this is Gail Banks. We've spoken to Gail Banks many times. And on his racing trucks, like his, I don't know, maybe it's a Pikes Peak truck, maybe it's Land Speed truck, but he's done a lot of different configurations of compound boost, turbocharging and supercharging, and figuring out what order to put them in. Do you use turbocharge, then supercharge? Do you supercharge and turbocharge? And just a lot of the configurations of where each fills the gap of the, you know, that's left behind by the other. So he's got a lot of experience.
We need to have that conversation, please, dear God.
Yeah. So it is kind of interesting because, I mean, yes, there is the thought that you might be able to take your TRX as it is and do a turbo or two smaller turbos, maybe down low underneath the vehicle. So John Uris Stealth Kit puts the turbos low, like on the sides of the transmission, you know, right, arguably right after the catalytic converter. So the exhaust manifold of the header stock would go right into the cat untouched, and then right after the cat, a pair of turbos, and then have that feed your supercharger. Now, you'd be doing light boost. You may get away with 3 or 4 pounds of turbo boost, but compounded, now the supercharger's doing less work because you're getting – you're forcing air into it and spinning it, right? So now Mario's thoughts may be it's not the right type of supercharger. Mario's thoughts may be it may not work as efficiently or may put some undue stress on the supercharger. I don't know. I don't know what his testing has been. Or he may say it's great, you know. But I agree with you. It's worth looking around, maybe getting some thoughts and talk to a few people, get Mario's thoughts on it as well. And maybe talk to Gail Banks, talk to John Uris, talk to a couple of guys. I know a lot of these guys.
There's no maybe about talking to Banks. I've got to get some info, man. Cause I obviously you trust someone like that, an expert like that exponentially, because they've been doing it longer than anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, so he had a lot of thoughts on it and a lot of success with it. He's built some pretty big power vehicles with this thing, and he's done it with diesel as well. He's supercharged diesel engines, which you don't normally see, right? You see a lot of the turbos.
Yeah.
So, we should have a conversation with Gail. Anytime somebody says you want to have a conversation with Gail Banks, I'm always down to have a conversation with Gail Banks. So he's the most interesting guy in the world. He's that guy. He's the beer guy. All right, so let's bring in Mark from Good Guys, and we'll check in and see what's going on with them. Okay, hey Mark, we got Mark Metters from he's the president of Good Guys Rod and Custom Association. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
How you doing, Mark?
I'm good. How you doing, Bill?
Doing well. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too. It's been a while. I think it was Del Mar, autocrossing, Camaro, and your wife, and all kinds of good stuff.
Emasculated by my wife, as usual.
Yeah. You better just fall in line and deal with it, right?
100%. 100%. I want to survive at home, then yes, I have to take into consideration that she's a stunt woman and she can tear me apart on an autocross. So it's all good. Nothing but good memories.
Good. That's what Good Guys is all about, memories.
So, Mark, I think most people listening are familiar with what Good Guys is, but why don't you give us a little recap? Because there's the events, but then there's the membership. So just tell us a little bit about the Good Guys Rod and Custom Association.
Well, it was founded in 1981. We're going on This year's our 39th year. Next year will be our 40th year. It was founded by my father, mother and father. Like I said, 1981, our first events were in Pleasanton and Merced. We motate to Merced, and now we're a full-blown deal. We do 17 events across the United States and about 12 different markets. And like I say, it was founded by my father, who grew up in the Central Valley, which is where American Graffiti went down. Mm-hmm. Fresno, Vinuba, Reedley, you know, where they used to all cruised and did all their stuff. So he grew up in that era. And so he was just enamored with hot rods and American Graffiti and 32 coupes and, you know, the whole gamut in the American Graffiti. And it just stuck with him. And he became a salesman. So on his, when he was, you know, at sales meetings with all these other people, they would travel, and he would, he was a car guy, and most of the other guys at night, they'd go to the bars and drink. And so he would find somebody in that area that was building a car, and he would go to their house, shoot pictures of it, and turn that and write a story about it and turn it into the magazines back when Street Rodder was around, all those magazines. So he ended up with the pen name Gary Good Guy Metters. And his buddy, Bruce Olson, worked for Kodak back when it was all about film.
Yeah.
And Bruce would get the film developed and help him write the story. So it was the tag team that did all these things. It was Bruce Deuce Olson and Gary Good Guy Metters. And so, you know, when he decided to form Good Guys, he asked all his buddies, you know, what should I call this thing? What should I call this thing? It was pretty obvious, Good Guys. So, you know, the rest is kind of history.
So it started off with just a publication, essentially. And then Good Guys was basically a car club, or still is a car club. You can still, you know, you get a membership and you're a part of the car club, and maybe you get the sure. newsletter and stuff still. But when did the events started coming in? Because now you're doing these pretty big events, and they've grown quite a bit over the years, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Before the magazine, it was just events. It was trying to pull off events, you know, and I'm looking at our schedule. We're going here this weekend is Des Moines, and it's the, you know, 31st Des Moines. You go to our longest running deal is in Pleasanton and 38 years, you know, so most of these events are established. They have two decades of history with them, but it took a long time to get it off the ground. I remember stories hearing my mom and dad talk, you know, about the first few years. You know, we worked out of the house, out of their house. And so in the wintertime, we would, when we did our events, you know, we need to supplement income during the wintertime. So my dad in Hot Rod Magazine ran an ad, or actually found Converse high top flame tennis shoes. So that was our wintertime income. Bought, and you could only buy it by the container load. So, you know, he bit off this big deal, ran a little ad in Hot Rod with the flame Converse tennis shoe. And it was produced back then by Life's a Beach, which was a company. Anyways, we ordered a container load of them, and they were selling like hotcakes. It was great. We were writing, you know, back in the UPS book was a little rectangular book, mm-hmm. and you'd write in everything you shipped that day. And so the UPS guy was coming in and out of the house quite a bit. And we were, you know, sending these things all over the United States, and come to find out they were sized about a size and a half off. So if you ordered a 9, we sent you a 9, it was a 10 and a half. So then all hell breaks loose. There were returns and shipping back and forth, and just kind of a crazy time. He was just an entrepreneurial guy that figured out how to appease that age group.
Yeah, right. So the events, look, it in the early 90s, my brother and I was, I don't know, 15 years old. We restored a Mustang. We started taking it to some shows. And the shows back then were just like just a huge parking lot or a lawn with a bunch of guys sitting in lawn chairs at the back of their cars, and everyone's walking by and looking at the cars. And it's great. It's fun. You get out there, you get your little umbrella, you get a sunburn, you have a beer. Not when you're 15, but let's just say.
That hot dog.
Yeah, you're having a hot dog, you're drinking a soda, and you're sitting in between the cars in your lawn chair and everybody's walking by. You have a couple of good conversations and stuff, and it's good. But the events for you have really grown over the years. Walk us through the lay of the land. Like, what do you expect to see at a Good Guys event now?
Everything. You know, we try to be the leaders of doing these events, right? A lot of people follow what we do. Like Bill knows, we came out with Autocross, right? Boom. Oh, my God. Autocross. Wow. What an awesome deal. So you start adding that other event, and now you look around. It's like everybody and their mom is doing Autocross. You got Optima. I mean, you have, and Bill knows, he plays in that arena. Everybody's doing it, right? So we're always looking for that next thing. But I mean, it's a car lover's paradise, really. It's, you got your swap meet, you got the guy selling the used stuff, you got your vendor selling the new stuff. You got, this weekend in Des Moines, we'll have 5,000 hot rods, 300-400 vendors, and a lot of spectators. But it's a car guy's paradise, really. There's a little bit for everybody. You got your high dollar guys, you got your low dollar guys, you got your in the middle guys, you got your drivers, you got your trailer queens. We try and appease, or, you know, open our doors to everybody and try not to just focus on the high dollar guys, because the majority of them are your daily driver show car guys that go to a lot of different shows. So our membership's based is a real variety of cars and people across the United States.
Do you still run any events with auctions?
With an auction? No. Meekum is so freaking huge. I mean, yeah. Are you kidding? In the beginning, we started with Dana.
Yeah, I'm not kidding at all, because I bought my 59 Biscayne at Del Mar.
Yeah. We bought a Speed Sport Roadster. I don't know if you were there a year, that there was this nostalgia fuel car for sale. My dad grew up with a Speed Sport Roadster, and so he bought it. And I got it, and it's sitting around. I got to drag it everywhere, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, we did the Dana Meekum deal before Dana Meekum became, you know, what he is today.
Yep.
And he struggled with it, and we struggled with it. Our guy wasn't an auction guy, right? I want to go to Bill's house. I want to drive Bill's car. I want to see how he built it. And then I'll buy it. I don't want to buy it without not knowing, because I hear all those horror stories, right? Yeah. $100,000 69 Camaro, and I can't even drive it. Can't even turn the wheel. It, you know, goes into the fender. So that's the one thing about auctions, but they're smoking hot right now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was a different flavor, for sure. I mean, you guys had your own spin on it, but you were ahead of the game, 100%. But I think it was, you know, unfortunately, I dropped some money there, which is not a strange thing for me around an auction. But I think it was a really cool addition to what you guys offered back then.
Yeah. And that's what we're constantly striving to. What's the next thing, right? What's the next thing? You look in Australia, where they do those burnout cars, where they just hold them wide open and they come out and they just, you know, I'd like to figure out how to get that done out here. You know, that might be the next thing. I don't know. You got to appease younger people as we move forward.
Well, but you know, thanks to your father and his passion, and thanks to you and the family for continuing on and always pushing the envelope for the coolest thing to add to your recipe of an event, you know, for car guys, and to be able to appease, quote unquote, everybody. I mean, that's the best business model in the world, especially the middle class, because that's who wrenches usually on these cars. It's not just the high class guys, but to have something for everybody, it's just like going to the fair.
Yeah.
But it's a car fair, and Do you have any events out in Texas? Because we moved out to Texas about 3 years ago.
Well, guess what? I moved to Texas 1 year ago.
Nice.
I'm in Texas right now. We got offices at the Texas Motor Speedway.
Oh, beautiful. Well, you're right up the road from me. And hopefully it's not – well, actually, we got some rain yesterday, so it's not 100 degrees again today. But
where are you?
Well, good to have you. We're down near San Antonio area.
Okay. Yeah, I'm west. I'm out in Hudson Oaks, which is by Weatherford, down 20.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
So, yeah, I bought some acreage. I got some Longhorns. I'm building a warehouse there, and we're moving everything out of California here.
I'm staring at a kangaroo, a swallow, and a whitetail that's sitting in the corner of our. So yeah, life has changed exponentially. But if you have some events out here in Texas, I'd love to hit them up.
So we're going to be based. Go ahead.
I was saying, speaking of Texas events, there was a little bit of time off during the pandemic, but you, I think, kicked off the new season with an event in Texas, and how I understood it is, it was massive. It was way bigger than anybody had thought. I think everyone was just so eager to go out and talk to people and to do it in an environment that's outdoors with cars and not have to worry about being in an enclosed space. Your Texas event was massive. Was that what was that last year? Toward the end of last year?
It was last year, March.
Yeah.
And so the weather, you know, it's all weather based, man. If you can nail the weather, you knock a big chunk of liability out of your deal. And the weather was a little iffy, but cold. But you know what? They wanted out. We were the first deal open in the last year, so it was. Yeah, it was enormous.
How many
cars
people
were everywhere? People everywhere.
How many people came out to that, or how many cars came out to that event? Do you recall?
About 2,400 cars, about 30,000 people.
Wow!
Over the 3 days, it's a big deal. The Motor Speedway here appreciates us, which some places don't, you know. And you know, that's just business. But yeah, they're Texas is just a great state. We're really proud of their state. They care about their state. You know, I come from California. I didn't know anything but California my whole life. I'm 55.
This is liberating, isn't it?
Oh my goodness. Why did I wait so long? It's all good.
So what are the requirements to have a car at a Good Guys event? Whether you're showing a car or autocrossing a car, like what are sort of the requirements? Is there a year cutoff, but for the show or for the autocross or all of it?
Yeah, it's all of it. It's except for if you're in the swap meet or you have cars for sale area, you could have anything. You have a brand new Porsche in there, whatever you want. But as far as registered participants, it's a rolling 25 years. So every year it goes up. And so we just kind of started that. So this year it's 97 and older. And next year will be 98 and older. And so it'll just move up a year every year.
Can't believe 97 is 25 years ago.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
97.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
And so we were founded on. Yeah, I know. It's tough. It's hard. But so it was. My dad was such a staunch hot rodder, right? So in the early years, it was 48 and older. I mean, that's all there was. Yeah. You know, it was all about 32 Fords and 40 Fords and all the 40s and so. And then NSRA, it was kind of like us, stayed with 48 and older forever, way too long. So my father was smart enough. He saw the writing on the wall. We got to open it up to these other guys. So then it went to 64. So it had added in the 50s and 60s cars. And then it went to 72 for forever, basically. And then my father had passed in 2015 and it was time to up the deal, right? And it's all the weights on my shoulders. I'm like, oh God, I don't want to screw this up. So we ran different promotions in our magazine, talking to our members, showing them the later year cars. We wanted to go to 87. So we showed them the Fox bodies. We showed them the G bodies. We showed them all the cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to prepare them for the next move. And we upped it to 87. We built a little Mustang. We showed it SEMA so we could kind of support the movement, and it all went off without a hitch. But coming from a staunch hot rod brainwashing, it is really tough to watch the newer cars go through the awards. And this is my own personal, thing, because my dad was such a diehard. You see a 90 Chevy truck come through that's cool, but nothing crazy. So it just kind of shows you guys got to spread the love. You got to kind of keep things open, keep them fresh, keep them going. I'm here to keep this thing going. So,
I mean, but there's a pretty active audience out there for sure. We talk about here quite a bit, Honda S2000s, Toyota Supras, and there's a big import car market. And some of those are pretty incredible hot rods as well, if you will. And
it's in the eye of the beholder, and it's all about business.
And look,
right?
You know, Goldberg here has got a handful of modern day hot rods making big power, and they're all kind of custom. And mm-hmm. you know, so we kind of wonder, you know, is there a thought on having a, you know, a limited class or something for some of the modern, you know, modern GT500s, GT350s, Challengers? And
to me, that's an entirely different event, because okay. I completely understand where he's coming from, because I'm an old school guy. I couldn't bring any vehicles when it was 52 and older.
Yeah, right.
You know, when it got pushed up to the 60s, then I was ecstatic, right? But for all of the modern muscle that I have, I couldn't see them at a good guys event by any stretch of imagination. That's just me. That's an opinionated view, right? Because for me, that's a completely different named event. Or I just couldn't see, I don't know. I mean, from the identity that I see of good guys, although it's a business, right? So mm-hmm. you can form a different entity and be the good guys, you know, modern muscle event. But a traditional good guys event, and I know it's changing year and year, and the years have to extend by 1 year. But I don't think modern muscle is what I
envision. Good guys, yeah. You think of hot rods. Right. Yeah. But we do these events, like our longest running event, that the event I just said we're doing 38 years, that is, it's called an All-American Get-Together. So it's anything year-wise, but it's got to be American-made or American-powered.
That's cool.
And that is a massive event for us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's in Pleasanton. So, and then on our national events, so like a Columbus or a Del Mar or those, on Sundays, we allow anything year-wise to come in. We call them All-American Sundays.
Okay.
So that's where we get a lot of your Dodge guys with their Hellcats and their Red Eyes.
Yeah.
They go around the autocross. They do the burnout contest. You know, but you're saying, no, you can't. We don't want you Saturday, but we want you Sunday. So, you know, it's a tough line. But like you say, business, right?
But that's how you introduce a younger crowd to events like this.
Correct.
Is you keep the heritage of the event, but then you trickle in some – the new young crowd. Not to mention, I'm sure, a handful of your vendors that are selling parts, right, or introducing or displaying parts. They're often making parts, you know, all these new SKUs are for new vehicles. So it's a way for them to go, hey, we've got the newest suspension available or the new exhaust available for, you know, for your late model car.
But there is a business and there is a responsibility to carry on the old school tradition, and you can only do that with the old vehicles. And so, then there's that.
Right.
And then it trying to start a new event and I mean, it's near impossible. Anybody that wants to get into this game today, I would suggest, you know, you got to have a lot of passion, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a tough deal to create today, I would think.
The other thing, there's two other things that have stood out to me with the Good Guys stuff is Good Guys does a pretty big award, right? And the Good Guys award has now become one of the top awards for builders to get. You know, obviously there's the Roadster Show, there's Riddler, and now getting, you know, like Street Machine of the Year from Good Guys, you know, that's one of the top awards, one of the most prestigious awards you can get in the automotive space. How do you think, why do you think that has evolved into being one of the big ones?
Because we're good at marketing.
There you go. That's a great answer.
We're good marketing. We're a marketing and promotional company. I mean, that's what we're good at. Like I say, it's been built over 25 years. It's not something we just came up with.
Yeah.
You know, we do 12 top, it's called the top 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some of them we pick, you know, there's Hot Rod of the Year, Street Rod of the Year, Street Machine of the Year, Muscle Machine of the Year, Custom of the Year, you know, Autocrosser of the Year, right? So after we get our top 12 at the very last show of the year, Scottsdale, we get all those cars at Scottsdale to be on display as our top 12. So we pay some fuel, we pay some hotels, we get them out there, we take care of them. And that's our top 12 cars. So it's a great promotional piece for us to promote at Scottsdale. it draws in a large crowd, a large number of hot rods. And then that's where you could see all 12, boom, in one place from all around the country. You know, they all don't come from California. They all don't come from Arizona. They're splintered around everywhere. And so, and you know, if you're into it, you see it online, you see them, but you don't get to see them. So when you get to see the top 12 cars of good guys at Scottsdale, that's a pretty special deal. I mean, They're all in one place. I'm not sure you'll get that anywhere else. So
yeah,
they've come a long way. And then when those guys go to sell those cars, and this will tell you how important those awards are, is so when they're going across the block, oh, this is the good guy's street machine of the year. Boom, that adds a big old, you know, stripe on your shoulder. I'm street machine. That adds value to your car that you've got $250,000 wrapped up in or whatever else. So yeah, it does mean something.
It certainly adds credibility. If I'm watching Barrett Jackson on TV and I see a bunch of really nicely built, you know, resto mods or hot rods, but if it won like street machine of the year or a category, I trust that it's a well done car, right? Because the competition is fierce out there. And if you win that, you're like, you can rest assured that's a cool car. You don't even need to be there in person. You can look at it and go, yeah, it looks good on TV, yeah, but you know, that's going to be a top notch car because it has that credibility. Now, the other thing that you guys have done is you build a car. Are you building a car every year? Yeah. Is it a charity car? Is it a sweepstakes car? Tell us about the belt. It's a giveaway.
Okay. It's a giveaway car for our membership base. Member and registered cars that come to our events. So this year it's a 85 Chevy square body that Goolsby built. And these names that I'm throwing out at these builders, these guys are the best in the business, and Bill can vouch for all these guys. So it's a Roadster Shop chat. You know, it's a $350,000 C10.
Yeah.
With a late model LS, you know, 4L80, the whole Magilla. And it's promoted through our magazine. We do the build up in the magazine. It's given away in Columbus, which is in 2 weeks. And then we debut the new one. And the new one is it's the Roadster Shop built it. It's a 93 Chevy truck, because trucks are hot. Bill knows that, I'm sure. Trucks are on fire. And so, you know, when the Roadster Shop builds a car, let me tell you, it's state of the art. It doesn't get much better. Mm-hmm. The paint, the finish, the work. I mean, those guys go to the very end of the earth to do things correct. So they'll debut that one. Well, here's that one. And then Sunday we give away the previous years. And then, so then we take that car, Roadster Shop takes it. We kind of trade it off. They go to different events and they display it. It comes to our events, we display it, gets promoted throughout the whole year to the members. Like, hey, register your car, come to Good Guys, you can win this car. And then at every national event, we pick a qualifying winner. So at the end of the deal on Sunday at Columbus, we pick, hey, Joe Blow, You're qualified to win this car next year. We fly them out. We put them in a hotel. We dress them up with a shirt. I'm one of the winners. And then next year at Columbus, as we go through the whole year, we pick one at each show. And then all 18 people come to Columbus next year, able to win the car. They draw a key. You get in. It doesn't start. Or, it fires up. Boom, balloons drop. And it takes it right there. Yeah, right. And there.
It's a great program. And the other thing that's really caught everyone's attention over the years is, as you said, now you're working with some of the best builders in the country. And this isn't just a slap together like, hey, this is a promotion with, you know, I don't know, with like eBay or something. You know, like these are legit top of the line hot rods that would,
you could,
if you win this thing, you drive this to another show and you're going to be winning all the awards. I mean, these things are really, really impressive because I've got a chance to see them as they've toured, you know, at the events and go, hey, you know, this is a really nice damn car.
Phenomenal.
yeah.
Phenomenal car.
Some really, really cool stuff. And I like that, that you guys go with different builders. You know, I don't know if you've used the same builder more than once, but you've kind of cycled through and got input from different people. Sure. And maybe it's just the type of car that's being pitched or, you know, the style of the builder, but it's not always the same. And I think that's a cool thing to see out there as well.
Yeah. and it's a good thing to promote. Gives you a lot of things to promote, and you know, get people excited. And people, you know, if you really look at the odds, my goodness, the odds are really, really good for this type of deal. You know, we register 45,000 cars a year. So if your pool's 45,000, that's a small pool compared to a lotto or any of those other kind of sweepstakes.
Yeah, right.
Kind of deals.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you being here. It's a great conversation. Good Guys. Those are the shows you guys want to check out. You can go to good-guys.com. You'll see the full event schedule. They've got a handful of, well, in July, they've got Des Moines coming up the beginning of July, Columbus, Ohio, Santa Rosa, California, Washington as well. So what are you doing, about 15, 20 events?
Yeah, 17. We range from 17 to about 20.
Okay.
Back in the day, we did 32 events.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
And a lot of one-day deals. One-day Volkswagen bug bash, a one-day muscle car shootout, and we were running pretty hard.
And now, most of these events now are multiple days. They're 2-3 day events, right? So
3 day.
Yeah.
Friday through Sunday.
You know, if you guys haven't gone, if they're in the area, you should definitely try to swing by and give it a run through. As we've said, the events have really grown into something kind of spectacular over the years, between the vendor booths and the cars on display and the autocrossing, and just sort of the sights and smells of an event like that are exciting for sure. So I got to get down to Del Mar again. I've had less reason to go down there now that Bill's moved away, and it's kind of a drive for me, but looking forward to, well, listen, now that I know that the cutoff is 97, you know, I've got a 95 Lightning and 93 Cobra and then 92 SAC car, and now all my shit qualifies.
So you can be a good guy now. You can be a good guy.
Yeah, they're all 90s cars, but
well, that's all right.
90s cars are the only cars I can afford. All right, let's go ahead and we're going to wrap things up. Mark, I appreciate it for being on the show. You know, it's great catching up with you and hearing a little bit about the family business that you've grown here. And I love that aspect of it.
Great,
all right.
Talking to you, Mark.
Yeah, you too, Bill. Hope to see you around, man.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Yeah, if you need anything, I'll get my email to you somehow, and you just send me an email if you want to go somewhere. We'll send you a little care package.
100%. I appreciate it, sir.
Sounds good. Guys. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to wrap things up here as well. So listen, until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course, who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to GEICO becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.